Hello, welcome to the Bikecast. Today I've been thinking about a strange phenomenon that I have yet to put a name to, have yet to really fully understand, but oftentimes my bike-based wild speculation yields results. And so today I'm going to talk about outflanking the right. I think I can get behind the narrative that says that the right wing of the political structure is the more stereotypically chest-beating nationalist, patriotic, whatever, militarist wing. But if at any time the right backs away from that position in any slight, tiny way, the progressives will rush in to take the yet more conservative position, the yet more militaristic, imperialistic position that for whatever reason is temporarily abandoned by the right. I don't know for sure, but there does seem to be an extra sort of zealotry in those instances in which the left feels comfortable cheering for the United States. And in its most seemingly innocent form, take something like the World Cup, where the most lefty progressive people I know can really get behind their nation state and hope that it wins over anybody, I guess. These sad little South American or African countries. And again, I don't see any huge harm in it. It just strikes me as very, very odd. It actually apparently struck somebody else as odd. There was a minor blog story about somebody who tweeted that they couldn't stand the USA chant, and I guess took some heat for that. But anyway, that's, like I said, this is not the crux of the issue. The recent example that I think best exemplifies this is around the character of Michael Steele, who, as of July 5th, 2010, today, is, I believe, still the chairman of the Republican National Committee. So he's nobody. He's a fundraiser. But he's a punching bag for the progressives. And this time they've really got him nailed against the wall. And here's what he did. He said, a loose paraphrasing here, that the war in Afghanistan was unwinnable. That no empire had conquered Afghanistan in 1,000 years. And that Obama should know that. So essentially, Michael Steele said, for once, one time, something that was true. Obviously true. Everyone knows that. It is completely and entirely true that the United States will never win any kind of victory in Afghanistan. The first problem, of course, being that what the fuck does that even mean to win a victory in Afghanistan? Anyway, that aside for the moment, here is a Republican saying what, of course, progressives should be saying all the time, everywhere, constantly. And besides being thoroughly crushed by his own party, by the conservatives, he's also taking shots from the left, who are saying he's un-American, or not un-American, I guess, that he's not supporting the troops. So here is the perfect example of how you know how an anti-war progressive, I'm sure there's some out there, should know that this entire charade, that all of this theater is meaningless. When the war party, the party of empire, the party of dominance, the party of U.S. hegemony, slips up and admits that there is one feature of reality that they're not willing to ignore. I guess, honestly, one guy in one sentence is hardly a shift in party policy, but one guy, at least, on the right, slips back an inch from the warfare state party line. And not one progressive, not one leftist authoritarian, nor their social networkers, bloggers, progressive echo chamber in general, is saying what an anti-war, anti-imperialist, pro-human party would say, which is, this guy is right. He's totally right, 100% right. And there is no victory in Iraq either. Well, I guess there you're really pushing it, but why is this? It's because the left-wing authoritarians don't care about the war in Afghanistan. They don't care that people are dying and being imprisoned and burned out of their homes. They care about having power. If there was any concern for the victims in Afghanistan, if there was any concern for the victims of the American Empire, the most important thing that could be done would be to, in this case, jump up and down and point at Michael Steele and say, he's right, he's right, he's right. Everyone knows he's right. We need to get out of Afghanistan now. And the reason they don't do this as an individual, politician or journalist or blogger or whatever, is because immediately that person would be cut off from power to whatever degree, whatever place in the chain they serve power. The moment that they drift from the media narrative, which is the narrative of the warfare state, They are drifting from popular relevance. And being a politician means being popularly relevant. Being a journalist means being popularly relevant. Now, in the blogosphere, this is a side note, I guess, but in the online world, you can be popularly relevant without accepting the dominant narrative. It's more challenging, obviously, because if you serve the dominant narrative, then everybody who's plugged into the mainstream media will feel immediate resonance with your message. What I foresee happening, it is happening. It happened, well, to me, but it is happening more widely, is that the left, or those that self-identify as progressives or socialists, are beginning to understand that the state is conservatism. State is the opposite of a pro-human, rights-respecting, equality-embracing system of human organization. It's a system of dominance. It's codified violence. It is codified patriarchy. And there's no getting around that. There's absolutely no cogent argument against that. It's always been the same. Thousands of years of history, every example, every case, all the time. It's not different this time. Our little would-be republic, born in slavery and genocide, is just like every other state throughout all of time. And now the left is beginning to understand this and beginning to look for solutions elsewhere. Actually, this brings up an interesting point. Solutions elsewhere is also in the news lately, as more and more attention is focused on anti-state movements, so-called. And again, when somebody steps out and says, this thing is a monstrosity, and of course I understand the narrative is this state is a monstrosity because it's taking my money and giving it to black people, or whatever. But motivations aside, the claims, the factual claims that the state is a murderous monstrosity that is failing every metric with respect to the claim and well-being of its citizens. And again, where the progressives have the perfect point of engagement, the perfect opportunity to say, yes, it's true, this way of socially organizing is grotesque, is harmful, is a subsidizer of human greed, a weapon of mass destruction, and a tool for controlling the poor. Instead of all that, their calls are for a larger police state with greater powers that can observe and crack down on these anti-state elements. But again, the agreement that the modern nation state is cruel, is a source of human misery, is a source of hierarchy, crystallized hierarchy, can't really be approached because, again, holding that position, or even worse, holding a position that we need to try something different, we need to try something else, makes you popularly irrelevant. But what it does do is to make you practically important, practically essential. Because the state has utterly failed at the task of protecting its citizens, educating the children, caring for the sick and the old, something else is going to have to do these things. And so by not looking to constantly outflank the right on its right flank, the tactic of the progressive who actually cares about human well-being must change to an exploration, an illumination, and endorsement of alternate means of social interaction than the mailed fist of the imperial state. As always, if you have questions or comments, stop by jaddavis.com, jad-davis.com. I look forward to reading them. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.